Good afternoon. This is Elizabeth Gordon, and we are broadcasting live here in the 200 Peachtree radio station. This is Women on Top, and I've got a wonderful guest with me in the studio today. Denise McGuigan is a manager in the Deloitte Consulting Technology SAP practice, where she handles the ERP implementation on behalf of her clients, primarily within SAP financials. Denise has strong functional leadership skills across business processes, SAP components, and project management responsibilities within the consumer products industry. She also brings a wealth of experience in requirements determination, design, development, communication, as well as training activities. Denise, welcome to Women on Top.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I am very interested to find out more about your career at Deloitte. If you wanted to start out by giving our listeners just a sense of, first of all, you're not from the U.S. originally.
Correct.
So you've traveled a path, both in your career as well as geographically, to get where you are today. Give us a little bit of background.
Absolutely. Basically, I grew up in Northern Ireland. That's also where I attended university. And I've always wanted to come to the United States and work. It's always been a dream of mine to actually move to the U.S. And I guess I first got my flavor for consulting when I was an intern with Ernst & Young. I spent 1 year with Ernst & Young Management Consultants in Dublin. So I always knew I wanted to travel, get into the consulting arena. And when the opportunity arose, I immediately came to the U.S., came to Atlanta, and applied for Deloitte. The position that was offered, I came in as a system analyst role. Very well suited for the position, considering my degree was in business and IT, and also provided a lot of travel. So one of the very first questions I was asked in my interview was, what about the travel? Are you ready for this? But my father was a partner in a consulting firm for several years, so I really knew what it involved. So from then, my career really took off. I built a lot of networks within the firm. I'm pretty much in the fast track right now. I have basically try to get promoted every 2 years, you know, inching that way towards partner. And it's been a great experience. Like you said, I've done a lot of traveling. I've just finished a global project where I went to the UK, Japan, and Argentina. And I'd like to share some of my experiences there with you today.
That sounds like, yeah, certainly a challenging and fascinating engagement. I'm sure a lot of different issues that you came into and a lot of learning experience as well. Talk about, let's start with kind of the difference between a system analyst role and what you're doing now and how your competency in consulting has expanded as you've been promoted through the ranks.
Absolutely. So as a system analyst role, you basically learn the software that you're going to implement. For me, I implement ERP, which is Enterprise Resource Planning Systems, and I also work within finance transformation. So it's truly a transformational project, not just a systems integration project. But from an analyst perspective, you're really learning the complex business requirements, learning how to interview clients, basically implementing the software and how we learn about the software. Thankfully, Deloitte actually sends us off to academy for 3 weeks. So when we join the firm, so we have this experience to bring with us. Prior to joining Deloitte, I did have some strong business process knowledge, which obviously helps when you're learning a new software, especially around financials. It can be quite complicated. But the system analyst role, it's really around requirements analysis, learning configuration of systems, and really building networks. I think that was one of the most interesting things that I learned as my first year at Deloitte. It's very important to think about your networks and your brand. And it's something that you really don't think about when you're a college and before you come into the business place.
No, certainly. And I think a lot of people think, well, now I am this brand. I don't have to have a personal brand anymore because now I'm the brand of the company. But you still need to think about, well, who am I within the company?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Deloitte provides a lot of training, as you mentioned, both in the technical capacity and the business side, but also in like leadership development and that type of thing. Have you benefited from being a part of an organization that offers such an array of learning?
Yes, and I've been very fortunate. Deloitte have several leadership programs. I was actually selected for one of their leadership programs last year, which is essentially a fast track to partner. We also have Deloitte University. It's an amazing facility out in Westlake, Texas, where they will send us for all of our training. So we'll have partners, directors come and teach us everything that we need to know in terms of leadership, how to build strategic relationships, pricing strategies. So as part of this leadership program, you actually get exposed to a lot of areas that you wouldn't necessarily be involved in until you reach the partner director level. So they're really, really exposing me very young in my career, which I think will benefit me in the years to come.
Now, you mentioned building networks and that being an important tool that you've used to continue to navigate around the company. Can you give some specific examples of how building your network within the company has been useful for you?
Sure. One of the very first things I learned was, like I said, networking. One of the best pieces of advice I got was join initiatives. Deloitte has so many initiatives, especially here in our Atlanta office. It's a huge office, and every Friday is just bustling with activity. Obviously, we're in our clients Monday through Thursdays, so we'll come in on Fridays to meet with all of our practitioners. Several initiatives we have, for example, the Women's Initiative. That's a national program to help women in business, help women excel. And also, I'm very passionate about diversity and inclusion. So luckily, we have the International Business Resource Group. So I had the opportunity to lead that here locally in Atlanta for several years. Now I'm on the national team. So that really brought together all the international practitioners. And we were able to discuss immigration issues, all of the various international global business issues that we're seeing in our clients. I've been very fortunate to get involved in these initiatives within Deloitte. And in a sense, it helps build your network. Every initiative has a partner sponsor. So again, your network just grows. And a lot of these initiatives are across various service lines and different functional service areas as well. So I don't only work with technology folks, I get to work with our tax people, you know, our financial analyst people as well.
So you're getting a broad array of networking across all the competencies within the company.
Correct.
Now, as a consultant, in addition to being able to benefit from all that your consulting company, the company you work for, offers, you also get hands-on experience working with some of the top companies in the world, really. You're out there meeting with the client, working with
Yes.
clients 4 days a week, typically. What are some of the things that you have learned and observed from the companies that you've been able to consult for?
Yeah, so what I've noticed, especially within my area, we typically, like I said, we implement an ERP, SAP systems. We focus on finance transformation.
Does that mean, finance transformation? Maybe we should even give
right.
drill it down to the basics here.
Finance transformation, it's like a concept that basically we go to into a company and try to look at their financial operations, try to improve them, also look at their controlling and their reporting, and also taxes. A lot of the companies that we work with, and what we see is some of their biggest problems is their system landscape. It's very fragmented. They don't have a consistent master data set, right? They don't have a global chart of accounts. So in a sense, they really can't do easy consolidation of reporting. Sometimes even to do their tax reporting becomes a challenge. And sometimes they're missing out on very good tax opportunities as well because they really don't have the means to pull that information together. So when we talk about finance transformation, we want to try and move away from it being a system integration to more people, process, and technology. So it'll affect the company as a whole.
Because the system really touches everybody now. I mean, you can't put technology in one department and think that it's operating in isolation.
Right.
It's every area of the business.
Exactly.
Now, the companies that you've consulted for, I mean, when having all these different systems, is it because they've grown via merger acquisition or just being global in nature and managing different operations and different companies differently on a different system?
Right. It's exactly what you said. It's because they're global in nature. They want to do global consolidations. And a lot of the times it could be driven by a tax strategy as well from where they're on their financial reporting side. And a lot of challenges, we have a change management team as well that we always bring with us. I think a lot of people underestimate how people just push away change and it scares them so much. We also have a change management team that comes into all of our projects. Not only does it affect the company internally, but also externally as well. Because if we're changing a system that's a customer-facing system, well, then we need to make sure that this is going to work once we go live with implementation. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration when we're implementing these projects. And we typically come in at the end of the visioning stage, start of design stage, where we really get into the nitty-gritty of where the complex business problems are and where there's actually gaps within their financial operations.
So what kind of role do you take within these types of projects? Where are your focus areas as you're overseeing all of this?
Right. So really my area, as a manager, I will be responsible for the complete finance implementation. So I will be responsible for all the individual areas. So I'll manage a team. Anything depends on the size of the project. Could be 5 to 20. Really depends. And everyone, so basically my role will become more project management. I have to ensure that we meet the milestones, meet all the timelines, deadlines, what have you. But also, I'm really responsible for delivering the solution in finance.
So the accountability, ultimately.
The accountability, 100%.
Now, that's the thing about the further you move up top, the more responsibility and accountability you get.
Correct.
The buck stops with you. So do you like that you're ultimately accountable for the team's efforts?
I do, but I will admit it is scary. It's always scary. You've got to make sure that you've covered absolutely everything. And to do that, you just have to be extremely organized. And obviously, through the last 7 years of Deloitte, I've watched our leaders and how they manage projects, and I've learned an awful lot. And there's actually several women within the firm, and I try to imitate their style because they've done things so, so well, and they're so organized. Their project plan is meticulous. They do not miss deadlines. So I try to keep the same type of approach. Obviously, right. Since the entire financial solution ends with me, basically, I have to ensure that there's no gaps. So I'm very, very meticulous about requirements analysis and tracking to make sure that we've covered everything and that all the solutions or all the problems have a solution, essentially.
Now, how have you learned to delegate responsibility and oversee things that you don't need to, you know, be in the weeds on, but
right.
still need to have oversight over?
That's an interesting one. That's an interesting one. Actually, it was tough. It was very tough for me because I hate to say that I'm a control freak, but it's true. I mean, I'm a type A person. I want to know absolutely everything that's going on, and especially with these type of financial system implementations, there's a lot of detail. There's a lot of custom development. So there's a lot of functional spec writing, technical specification writing. And as time goes on and your career grows, you can't always be in the weeds, just like you said. So you have to start empowering people, mentoring people, and trust the folks around you. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I learned over the last few years is professional development, help your practitioners, help bring them up to speed so you can empower them and trust them to be in charge of certain areas so you're not always in the weeds, so to speak, and always in the system. But I'm a very hands-on manager. I do like to get into the system because I really like to be on top, know everything that's going on. If I'm asked a question, I want the answer immediately. It was an interesting transition for me. It took a while to get used to, I have to admit.
Now, I want to hear more about this global engagement that you just finished up on. You said that you were in Argentina and Japan?
Yes, yes. I was very, very lucky. So I was on a global finance transformation implementation for a little over 3.5 years. The very first country, I was very fortunate, I got to go to the UK. So, of course, they sent me there for testing. Obviously,
nice.
That was my strength back
then. Did you get to see family while you were there?
I did. When I heard the opportunity of UK, my hand went up. I didn't hesitate whatsoever. They sent me there to get testing on track, start pushing things forward. While I was there, I got a phone call, and they asked me, could I stay? Of course, I was ecstatic. I'm like, not a problem at all. I'll stay here until go live, and which essentially is what happened. I stayed for the entire year. And it was great working with the clients over there. Obviously, we had a lot in common. You know, obviously, we talked about our soccer and our cups of tea and really made a lot of connections there. And I actually still keep in touch with them to this day. So that was a very, very enjoyable project for me. After that, I came back to the U.S. and we had a North America rollout. So I stayed in North America for roughly a year. And then the opportunity to go to Japan came up. And of course, I jumped on it. I've always wanted to go to Japan. I've heard so many fantastic stories. And the good thing about it is when we go to these other countries, we get to work with our Japanese counterparts. So the Deloitte folks, you know, the work in the Tokyo office. And it was great just to make the connections there, learn about Deloitte in Japan and how it's a little different, you know, how their structure is a little bit different from us. But the whole experience, the cultural experience alone was mind-blowing. And I always thought that travel in itself really is an education.
Absolutely.
So I had a phenomenal time. And just to fit in with the Japanese culture, you know, changing your communication style as well, you tend to have to be a little bit more formal, you know, when speaking with the Japanese counterparts. And one thing that I did learn, I wasn't in Japan for the whole implementation. For the majority of it, I was in the US. So one of the things, it's kind of difficult to build relationships when you're in one country. So we use web technology. We had video conferencing as much as possible because you like to see them. You like to read their body language because we were implementing a global template. And it's a little different, you know, for the client and what they do today. So the web technology, the constant communication, and then physically going there and working with them side by side, addressing their problems, being their trusted advisor, it really, really helped. And just understanding the culture and respecting their culture, first and foremost, was really important to me.
I would imagine the cultural differences would add additional complexities into the project overall.
Absolutely.
Was it difficult to overcome that, or you feel like the strategies that you used were effective in bridging those cultural gaps?
So one of the things I think Deloitte did very, very well, for these type of engagements, they actually put you through training to understand cultural differences. So before we went to Japan, we had a two-day training on every single thing that you need to know about doing business in Japan. And that really, really helped. Then obviously I switched from Japan to Argentina. That's very different. So again, I went through the same training, try to pick up Spanish. I really did try. Maybe I just don't have enough confidence, but when I got there, I wasn't too forthcoming in speaking Spanish. Plus, they speak very fast. Very, very fast. Very fast. But again, I loved Argentina. Made a lot of excellent people there. Very hardworking client. And also, the relationships I built there, like I still have a lot of friends, even this past New Year's. And this is some of the good feedback that really makes you feel good for what you do. So I dropped an email to the client in Argentina, just say, Happy New Year, how are things? Just to keep that connection going. And I got this really nice email back about how happy they are with the system implementation, how their year-end close went so well. And they were just so excited about what we'd done. So that was the feel-good factor. All the weekends, late nights, it really paid off.
Now, as you're describing a lot of this, I hear you using phrases like, I raised my hand for this, and I reached out to them, and you're very proactive in mm-hmm. your approach to kind of say, I'm interested in doing this. Mm-hmm. That doesn't always happen with women in business. I mean, it's something that comes up in a lot of women leadership conferences that I attend, you know, jumping in and volunteering
yes.
to get more visibility within the organization. Would you recommend that? I mean, has that been a helpful attitude to have? And do you feel like the opportunities that have come to you have been because you've been out there and visible and eager to take on new challenges?
Definitely, definitely. I think you really have to put yourself out there. And what I try to do as well, I always take like a 360 view. I love to know what people think of me, whether it's bad or good, because I think it's really important when you think about your personal brand. You want to know what clients think, even friends, bosses, whatever. I think it's very, very important. But like you said, really stepping up and taking ownership of all your tasks, it really builds this image or brand within the firm that you get things done. So all of a sudden, things are coming my way, like great project opportunities, I'm offered to lead initiatives. And honestly, I don't think that would have happened unless I really stood up, took the advice from my mentors. That's another good thing. I've had several mentors within the firm. A lot of them are female, both male and female. So I've been very fortunate. They taught me how to network, step up, you know, really be in the forefront and get your name known within the firm. Because Deloitte is huge. And because we travel, sometimes it's very, very difficult to become known locally
sure.
within the firm. So you have to really work at it, but you have to enjoy it as well. And to be honest, most of the initiatives that I'm involved in, I do them because I love them. I'm passionate about them. It's diversity and inclusion. They're things that it just comes naturally to me.
So what is it that you enjoy most about your career and the type of work that you get to do?
I think it's the type of exposure that we get when we go into client situations. Some of the problems that we get to solve. Some of the problems that we see are very, very complicated. Some of the systems that we're faced with, obviously from a systems integration perspective, we have to deal with a lot of legacy systems, customer-facing systems. So we have to be very careful in our design and methodology. Another thing, I guess, what the firm has taught me is structure and how to actually run projects. We have various templates, accelerators, what have you. and how to actually run the project successfully within budget and on time. But I, on the other side, the people side is what I really enjoy as well. I think over my last 7 years, the number of people that I've met within the US and all across the world, different consultants, and how small the consulting world is. That's what it never fails to impress me, how small it is and how many people know each other. Because like I said, my father was in consulting as well. And I've actually met people that knew my father, and it's such a small world. But the people element is great, and you're always working with the best of the best, I feel. Especially on our client sites, you're working with our top people, very smart people who challenge you, and you're constantly learning. So I think that is the biggest benefits of being a consultant.
So that's interesting, because I think people might think, oh, well, financial transformation, that's like all about numbers and mm-hmm. computers and how all the different fields add up ultimately right. to print out your tax bill
exactly
through the entire operation of a global enterprise. But the people aspect you mentioned as being one of the more powerful and ubiquitous aspects that right. you see in every area. So from a leadership development standpoint, what are some of the skills that you've learned to develop relationships with people, get the best out of these mentoring relationships when they're offered to you, mm-hmm. and also bring others up through the fold when you identify talent and you say that's somebody that needs to mm-hmm. move up through the ranks as well?
Right. So in terms of developing relationships, I always try to find something common, something we have in common, something personal where we can start off. And, you know, it is tricky because we go to different projects, we meet different people every day. So you've got to find that little piece that's going to open that door and get you this interview with this person or get you the meeting with this person. And again, there's a lot of workshops that we do within the firm to help you with this, because not everyone is born with the gift of developing relationships and, you know, reaching out there and developing their networks. A lot of times what we do every year, we'll do this 360 model of who should be within our strategic relationship model. And it's amazing some of the people that you forget. So like clients that what I haven't done business with in maybe 2 or 3 years, I should be reaching out to them, and I drop them an email around Christmas time, the holidays, just to keep that communication open as well. Obviously, when I went to the UK, that was very easy for me to develop relationships. There was a lot of commonality there. And again, on the mentoring side, a lot of my mentees, everything that I've learned with the 360 view of my strategic relationship and how we build them, I teach them the same thing, and I give them the models and templates that I've used to help them start very early in their career, because I think the earlier, the better. You start thinking about every single person that you need to be in contact with and how your relationships will extend. And beyond business, it doesn't always have to be business. You can be personal as well.
Now, you mentioned this idea of being a partner at Deloitte. How does the work of a partner at Deloitte differ from what you're doing today? And why does the idea of working in that role from that level of the organization intrigue you mm-hmm. and entice you?
So it's exciting and daunting at the same time. Like I mentioned, I'm in a leadership program. So I've started to get exposure to a lot of the things that partners and directors have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. The part that's really exciting is sales. Right now, I'm not really involved in the sales process at all. I'm more implementation, project management, get the job done. But as I start moving and looking forward to senior manager, this is where the strategic relationships really come into play. I need to start selling, start building my external eminence, and become known as a trusted advisor. I need to make sure people want me to come. I'm the person that's going to bring their solution. So a lot of the sales will come into play. And also partners, they own the firm. They're responsible for so many things. And I think I look at them and it's amazing how they balance these things, especially for women that have children. I really look up to them. I'm like, wow, how are you managing this? You're a mom, you're a partner, you have so many things going on in your life, but they somehow manage. And the firm, they have a lot of roles, especially internal roles, if you decided to have a child and things of that nature. But overall, the PPD, I always think once you make partner, you're given the pen. You can go, you can sell work, you can sign the contract. It's yours, you own it, and you've got to deliver. So It's very exciting, but obviously it's daunting as well. But the good thing is with the programs that we have, they really, really focus on making sure that you're ready. Obviously, it takes some time to move through the ranks and, you know, become partner and director. The admission process is quite lengthy, but for good reason. They want to make sure that you're ready. But I'm up for the challenge. I'm looking forward to it. But I must admit, I'm getting all the support that I need. I have several support type mentor sponsors within the firm, and they keep in contact with me regularly, review my goals, make sure I'm meeting my targets. My metrics have to be on schedule. And they're tough with me. I mean, if I slip, they'll tell me. But that's what I want. I don't want any sugarcoating. I just want it direct. Tell me how it is. But hopefully I'll get there someday.
I've no doubt you will. And I think your ambition and your plan is very solid. And the fact that you're open to feedback as well, I mean, because that can be tough to take sometimes.
Absolutely.
But you need to know the truth in order to
grow.
To improve and get better. So, you know, when you think about your life, if it was a pie and, you know, you've got your family life and your work life, has that pie piece, that's your career, always been an important piece for you in terms of finding a lot of fulfillment there?
It has. My career's always been very, very important to me. I always knew I wanted to get into consulting, but I've always been very driven, even as a young child. And I don't know if it's the will to succeed or the fear of failure. I think it's a combination of both. But even with silly things, with exams and traveling, I mean, I think I first did my foreign exchange program at the age of 7, which is very, very young. I found out about this foreign exchange program and asked my parents, could I do this? At the age of 7, I know it's quite young, but from a very young age, I just wanted to get out there, learn new things, experience new cultures. So I had the travel bug as a child anyway. And then I guess, you know, watching how my parents dealt with my dad being away all the time and consulting, I knew the challenges of consulting and being away from home, but I felt I could do it. I felt I could manage it. And so far, so good, hopefully. Granted, I don't have any children at the moment. And when children come along, things may change. I may spend more time in Atlanta office than New York and other cities I currently work in. But definitely, it does take up a big portion of my life. But I, you know, I truly enjoy it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it. And I think that's the most important thing.
Well, life comes in stages and we prioritize different things at different times. But it's wonderful to be able to make those kinds of choices. And the more you're in a position of power, it seems that you get more control over your career, over the choices you're able to make. What have you learned about power as you've advanced in your career?
I think with power, it's very important to give back as well. I've had a lot of help within the firm, a lot of partners and directors, senior managers, managers, what have you, take time out of their day to make sure that I'm meeting my goals. So another one of my passions is to make sure I want, call it a SWAT team. I want this perfect little team to take with me from project to project. And I know there's, I could list them all off right now, who are the superstars within the firm. But I do like to give back and I do like to mentor and make sure people are meeting their goals. And with power, it's a scary thing, too. I mean, there's once you go up the ladder, there's so many things that you're responsible for. So it's not only delivering projects. You've got to think about your sales. You've got to think about your people. So it all comes together and it can be quite stressful. But like I said, I think the right tools and methodologies are within the firm right now to help us reach that level.
And what do you do to manage stress or to make time for yourself and find a sense of peace with all of this work going on?
That's easy. I go to the gym. I run it off in the treadmill every night because it's my stress relief and it makes me feel so much better. The endorphins. Immediately after work. Yeah, I'm known. Sometimes people in my engagements call me a little bit boring. I don't always go to dinner and do the networking things that I should sometimes, but I definitely go to the gym and then I get back to work.
Nice. Well, you have to have a strategy for dealing with stress when you know you're taking on a lot of responsibility
right. And
a lot of power. So as you look at the future, what are some of your near-term goals for the next couple of years in your career?
So in my career, I'm looking forward to senior manager at the moment. And obviously with the senior management, that comes sales. So one of my biggest things will be external eminence, building my strategic network outside of the firm and start thinking how am I going to approach this? Will I be good at sales? Will I be a good negotiator? These are all the things that I really, really need to start focusing on. And understanding the firm as a whole and the business and some of our pricing strategies and being able to use that, because within the next few years, that's exactly what I'm going to have to be doing and excelling in, of course, as well. So sales is the next big thing for me. Right now, I'm hands-on, project management, delivering projects. That's going to change very soon.
Right. That's that shift as you start having that partner mentality.
Right.
Nice. Well, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Denise McWeegan, and she is a manager in the Deloitte Consulting Technology SAP practice. And I have one last question for you, Denise. It's been a real pleasure having you in the studio today. Thanks so much for coming.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, believe me.
But I want to know what advice you would offer to other women or even young girls who are saying, wow, this woman has an amazing career. I want to be like her. I want to be a woman on top too. What advice would you give?
I would say, don't be afraid to step up. Follow your dreams. If it's something you want to do, just do it. Don't let anything hold you back. And once you get there, lead by example. Never stop learning. You know, we'll never know everything. And never, ever give up on your values or integrity. Absolutely stand by everything that you believe in.
Fantastic advice. Thanks for joining us. And if people want to find out more about Deloitte, where can they go?
They can absolutely go to our website, Deloitte.com, or they can even reach out to me. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Fantastic. Thanks for tuning in to Business Radio X. This is Elizabeth Gordon, and you're listening to Women on Top, and we will talk to you next week.